And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the hottest podcast in town. This is RBLR Bucks, your favorite podcast dedicated to the beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm your co-host, Musab, and I'm going to be honest with you. I got a storm cloud hanging over me, and the Buccaneers unfortunately took another loss to the San Francisco 49ers. It was a strange fight to the finish, but it wasn't enough as we lost 23-20. Now it makes you wonder if they're getting used to losing. Looking at you, Todd Bowles. But the good news is we won't have to wonder this weekend if they'll lose, because guess what? It's bye week time. So listeners, it's time to take a breather. We got a bye week ahead of us, so make the most of it. Spend some quality time with your family, kick back, relax, and maybe watch your second favorite team. Or if you're like me, you'll be sweating it out in fantasy football, praying you don't take any more L's, just like our Buccaneers. Well, when we return for the second half, or should I say the last third of the season, it should be better. Should. But hey, you never know. All right, I'm going to stop with the sad boy vibes. And I'm going to get you back fired up again, all right? It's going to get better. It will. All right, we face some obstacles, and sometimes we've shot ourselves in the foot. But if you got a drink nearby, let's make a quick toast. Here is to the Buccaneers playing better in the second half of the season, and may our starters stay injury-free. Keep those pirate flags flying high, folks, and stay tuned to RBLR Bucks, where we'll keep setting the airwaves ablaze with the latest news, insights, and those scorching hot takes on your favorite team. Now, I hope you got your fire extinguishers ready, because we got an explosive show lined up for you today. But before we dive into the playbook, I've got to introduce my awesome co-host tonight. To my right, joining me as always, is the man with the plan, the one who knows the X's and O's like nobody else. He is my co-host, the legend himself, Mr. Zach Blaine. What's the good word, my friend?
Oh, whew. Not much, brother. I'm trying to, you said, you know, you brought up the sad boy vibes, and I feel like it's been that way for the last few weeks now, if you're a Bucks fan. So it's we're going to see how we can make it a little bit better, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it just hurt me the most knowing that, you know, we got bailed out many times, and we still weren't able to close it out. But, you know, we'll discuss that very soon. But before we do, of course, you know, I got to introduce the final puzzle piece to this iconic trio. He keeps it real. He knows the game inside and out. Never misses a beat. Whether we're breaking down plays or dropping bold takes, he's got the insight to keep you locked in. Mr. Carter Brantley, the mic is yours, my friend. How are you?
I'm all right, Mr. Tariq. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. I think it's that time of year. You know how it is. But, you know, other than that, you know, it's all good. The Bucs, obviously, did not look very excited to lose that game. I mean, I certainly wasn't excited having to watch it. But, you know, it happens. 23-20. They put up a pretty good fight against the 49ers. And we'll get into all this, as well as, you know, the bye week and kind of looking back at the Bucs' first 10 games of the season, because we don't have a game to talk about for next week. And we'll talk about, you know, maybe somebody coming back from injury, Mike Evans, as well as the second half of their season. Well, like Mr. Tariq said, maybe the last third of the season, I guess, would be more appropriate. But, yeah, I don't know. This is a tough game to watch. It was really weird, kind of not sloppy, but also not really fun. I mean, the Bucs offense kind of looked lost at some points, but so did the defense. The defense kind of got bailed out by the weird kicking situation with the 49ers. So which side of the ball do you maybe blame more? If you ask me, it's kind of 50-50. I feel like both sides were pretty weirdly bad. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Maybe you fall on one side or the other. Which side takes more of the blame in this loss?
I'm going to go a little bit. I mean, I was thinking 50-50, but I got to go with the defense just because of the way, again, how we finished it. I mean, look, on the final drive, you know, they only needed like just a couple of yards to get into that field goal range. And, you know, we had our cornerbacks lined up like 10, 15 yards, you know, off the line. And you know, I called it in our group chat as well. I was like, great, you know, we'll tie it up and then boom, you know, the Bucks will crap the bed again. And that's exactly what they did. It just sucks knowing that, you know, we're able to put up the good fight regardless of whether we got bailed or not. And we just end up, you know, doing this exact same things. We keep leaving these big gaps open, you know, for these, you know, opponent quarterbacks. And I don't know. It just doesn't work at all. I don't know why we keep playing this overall soft zone coverage. I think actually Tom Brady himself actually called it out during the game as well. And it just got super ugly. It was embarrassing to see, you know, how we weren't able to kind of just hold it down in the last drive, of course. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if this is kind of a dark way of putting it, but at least they got it over with in regulation. They didn't give you a little bit of false hope to, you know, stop them in regulation just to give up a touchdown in overtime, you know, that kind of like with the Kansas City game. I feel you. The defense was not very good. They gave up over 400 yards of offense. It was really ugly. But the offense also only had like a little over 100 yards through the air. San Francisco, obviously, you know, they got Bosa and they got Fred Warner. They have some talent on the defensive side of the ball, but I don't know. The Bucs offense was kind of let me down this past weekend, I'm not going to lie. So I for that reason, I'm just kind of more 50-50, just because as bad as the defense was, the offense wasn't really very good either. So it was a pretty down game for both sides. And most recently, it's been mostly defense that's been awful. So it was kind of weird to see both sides be kind of bad. But Mr. Blaine, I'm sure you're ready to tear this secondary a new one. So have at it. Go for it.
Secondary.
Right. There you go. There
is no secondary. Our linebackers can't play in coverage. I love Lavonte David, and I'm not, you know, he's played a pretty decent season, but in coverage, he's not even that great anymore right now. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like we've got the run stopper in David. No other linebacker has come in and shown they can play any sort of coverage. Yet Todd Bowles continues to put them in a zone coverage where we've got J.J. Russell guarding Ricky Pearsall. So it's like I'm putting it on the defense. The offense was not great. I'm not going to – there's no way about it. But you also got to think you're missing your top three receivers. Wirfs got hurt in the second quarter, didn't he?
Yeah, towards the beginning.
So you've got at least half the game without your starting left tackle, which, I mean, I got to give it to Skoll. He came in and played a decent game. I think Nick Bosa had one sack on him. But then you have guys like Zion McCollum, who's been pretty solid all year, just shit the bed. Literally had the lowest scored PFF player this week. We're on the goal line. We got Rashad White in instead of Bucky, which White and Bucky, I don't think it would have mattered. Graham Barton missed a completely open or left a hole open for their nose tackle coming to make a tackle for a loss. I don't know. It's 50-50, but also the defense, because there's, you know, I feel like we're supposed to have more weapons on defense with all of our injuries on offense. I know we have injuries on defense too, but it feels like more big name guys are out on offense than defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Sorry, I got a cat trying to climb up the couch. It's tough. You know, you've got the secondary, like you said, there kind of isn't one right now. The cornerback room is pretty much obliterated with Dean and McCollum got out towards the end of the game, and Breece Hall was their third cornerback, and he's done for the year. So they had Funderburk, and Josh Hayes, which,
Hayes looks like a grader playing against high school kids.
Yeah, it's so tough.
He can't tackle to save his life.
Yeah, it's not super fun to watch right now for sure. But you know, the offense also had 3.7 yards per play. Like that's not going to get it done. The rushing game was, they ran for over 100 yards. It was like, oh, hey.
Bucky Irving looked so good.
Yeah, Bucky looked great. He was doing his thing. They just couldn't really get anything going through the air. Obviously, Kate Otten has been kind of carrying the load recently, and unfortunately, he just wasn't able to do so. He wasn't getting open, or Baker wasn't finding him, whatever the case may be. Just wasn't happening today. And I'm not going to lie, it kind of, like, I know that last week and what, really all season, we've kind of been talking about how great Liam Cohen's been, and, you know, maybe Todd Bowles needs to be let go and Cohen can be promoted, because if you let go of Todd Bowles and don't promote Cohen, I think he's gone. So it's kind of one of those, things. It's not like, I'm not going to say, oh, Cohen needs to go as offensive coordinator. No, no, no. That's stupid. That's silly. Can't do that after one game. But it does kind of give me pause. Like, I get it, the three wide receivers route, it's tough, but it kind of shook my confidence a little bit. Maybe pump the brakes on firing Bowles and going right to Cohen. I don't know. It was just a weird game for him. They just couldn't seem to get anything going offensively. So just a lot of three and outs. I mean, my goodness, when you're doing that, you're leaving your defense out there for an extended period of time that's already struggling. Like, that's just, it's not going to do anything good. That's for sure. So is y'all's confidence shaken at all in Cohen, or maybe you just kind of wash it off? San Francisco's really good. They were without their three best wide receivers. It happens. Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, man. What is your confidence level in Liam Cohen after this Sunday's performance offensively?
I'm still high on Cohen. I mean, he's had one bad game. Like, in my opinion,
the Broncos game was tough too, because they had Evans and Godwin on that one. I know the Broncos have a good defense, don't get me wrong, but
what have the Broncos done since they played us? They've went on a bit of a run. They're a very good team.
Scoring 6 points at home, not good. Not a good
performance. So it was not a good performance. So I'll give you two. So what are we? We're in week 10 now.
Right, I get you. He's been
10, I'll take 80% any day of the week.
For sure, absolutely.
I know that we talked about, like, if we were to fire Bowles, you almost have to promote Cohen. Like, I'm not saying that he's ready to be a head coach, but it's like you either promote him or you lose him, kind of a deal. Like, right. We fired Bowles and moved up Canales, which, don't get me wrong, I'm glad we didn't. Like, I didn't want to see Canales as our head coach, but that's why he left, like, because he got an opportunity to be a head coach. And we're seeing more and more of these offensive guys go. So I'm not, my confidence isn't shaken in him, but I'm also, you know, it's to be expected.
Yeah, I mean, he's a first-year play caller. He's dealing with, like we've said a million times, a bunch of injuries. He's playing against a really good defense, so it was understandable for them to struggle on Sunday. But, at the same time, it's just like, this is kind of what the Bucs' strength was this whole season. It's been their offense. Like, oh, they've been really good. And for them to just go out and have kind of a dud was just really a bummer. So Mr. Treek, how about you, man? Maybe you're a bit more in between me and Zach, or maybe you're just like me and your confidence is a little shaken after Cohen kind of laid an egg out there play calling wise.
No, I'm not too shaken up. As you said, I'm just going to kind of wash it off. I feel like, I mean, obviously it's not something you like at all, but I feel like, yeah, there's just a lot of factors to think about, you know, why, you know, our offenses wasn't looking good out there. I mean, we've clicked in the past, of course, but you know, it's Cohen's first year, and I mean, Baker's first year working with him as well. You got a couple guys or our stars banged up. But on top of that, I just noticed, I feel like, I mean, this 49ers defense was, I mean, they're everywhere, especially their D-line. I mean, they were firing on all cylinders against us. So, I mean, I have to give them credit as well. But, I mean, overall, though, I feel like I'm still pretty optimistic about, you know, what Liam Cohen's been able to do and what he's done so far is, you know, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not a reflection of his overall performance. He's been really, really great, like Zach said, in most of the games otherwise. So, you know, it's just kind of a water under the bridge type of thing. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of an interesting note, since last week we were all super kind of riding high, maybe on the Cohen train. You know, there's the Trask train, now it's the Cohen Express, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to workshop that name. But, yeah, it was just kind of interesting to see just kind of a rough offensive performance coming off just consecutive weeks of just elite offensive output. So it was kind of tough to see. But the good news, they didn't commit any turnovers. You know, I don't know if that's really something to talk about when you're doing as little as they were offensively. But at least they didn't turn the ball over. They didn't necessarily set up their defense to totally fail, only mostly fail. So that was kind of encouraging. But you know, there's reasons for optimism for sure moving forward. I'm trying to put a little bit of sunlight into this, because it's going to be a tough bye week, because, you know, there's not a game to talk about. So the Bucs fans are going to be running rampant with things. So, you know, the good news is they have a really easy schedule I think, the easiest schedule in football moving forward. Mike Evans is going to come back after this bye week. So, you know, there's reasons for optimism. But another reason for optimism is we've got some really fire gear on the RBLR shop. If you want to head over there, we've definitely got some really great gear for to kind of lift your spirits, because the Bucs have been rough, you know, 5 out of 6 losses. So definitely can take 6 out of 6 wins if you're looking for some really great gear, just a way to upgrade your wardrobe. So head to shop.rblrsports.com, enter the promo code Cannons for 10% off your entire order. We'd certainly appreciate it. But moving to the second half of our episode, we're going to be talking about the sort of the pseudo second half of the Bucs season. You know, there's a lot of reason to be doom and gloom about this team, but there's some reasons to be excited about the direction that they're headed, because it's only up from here. It can't really get any worse. They could maybe figure out a way to do so, but just looking at the schedule specifically, they get the Giants, the Raiders, the Cowboys, who Dak Prescott's out for the year. So it's Cooper Rush and the Cowboys. And then they get the Panthers twice. Those are 5. I think we can count those as wins, even if the Bucs have a total meltdown. I know. But man, if the Bucs lose those games, then I think any of those games, I think Todd Bowles is gone. Like, that's just plain and simple. So let's say that they win those 5 games. That gets them to 9-8 at least. And maybe they split the Saints and Chargers games 10-7. That's a wild card, at least, I think. Don't y'all think? What are y'all's thoughts? If the Bucs end up 10-7, do you think this season's a success? Do you think they make the playoffs? What are y'all's thoughts on the Bucs prospects moving forward? Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts? 10-7, is that a playoff appearance?
I guess, but I just don't think of it much of as a success. I feel like, you know, the games that have really mattered, you know, we've shown that, you know, we are still failing and things that, you know, we need to fix, and we keep on making the same mistakes. I mean, by all means, yeah, it's nice to know that we're going to beat on teams like the Panthers or, you know, Cooper Rush and the Cowboys and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, if we make it to the playoffs, I'll be happy. But I mean, I feel like my expectations kind of just, you know, hit the brakes, you know, as soon as we enter then, because I mean, what else more, you know, do you want from this mediocre Buccaneers team?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. Just another first round exit more than likely in the future. But, you know, at the same time, I think at the start of the season, I said, I don't know if I said they were going to be 10-7 or 11-6, but I mean, I'd feel like if they were able to do that, if they were able to finish out the year going 6-1, I mean, that'd be really, really, really solid. And I'd consider that a success. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Maybe you're with Musab. You still think, like, oh, they're just beating up on bad teams. Like, that doesn't really matter. Or maybe you're like me and you're like, hey, that's a good season. 10-7, that's a playoff appearance.
I mean, 10-7 could still theoretically win you the division. Like Atlanta looked awful against the Saints. So, I don't know, man. It's a hard one because – like 10-7 is a decent, it's a winning record. But then you look at it deeper and it goes back to us talking about Todd Bowles, you know, winning 3 straight NFC championship or NFC South titles. And it's like, yeah, that's good. But look who we're playing. Like, look who's in the division. So it's like we did really poorly against really good teams. And then really bad, or we're playing good against really bad teams. So it's sort of a catch 22 because I would love to make the playoffs, but also I'm down for one of those, you know, a Carolina loss to get Bulls out of here.
Man, Tan, you want your favorite team?
No, I don't want the Bucks losing to the Panthers. I don't mind a loss from the Panthers.
I only play Carolina because every team that Carolina's beat has fired a coach. So at this point, I need it to be Carolina because they're the only ones that seem to be getting the job done firing coaches. I'm just over Bowles, dude. I've been over him for 2 years now. I'm not sold on him as a head coach, and I think that he's had his shot and he's not capitalized on it, and I'm done with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree that he's not going to be the head coach of the next Bucs Super Bowl winning team, but if you fire a head coach after 3 straight, you know, playoff or 4 straight, at least 3 straight playoff appearances, yeah, you're not going to get a lot of eager applicants. Like coaches are going to come into the situation and be like, well, if that's what you consider a failure, then what do I have to do to be successful?
But the other coaches that are coming into it have got to look into it and go, okay, so again, it's the NFC South. So that's why he's been to three straight playoffs. Like, you put him in a different division, he's not making the playoffs.
I guess I don't know, but if you put this team, if you theoretically like hired a different head coach and just kept the roster the same, I don't think anything changes. Like, I don't think this team's magically winning the Super Bowl or anything right now.
Well, I'm not saying Super Bowl, but I guarantee you something
we'll do better.
I think we'd be better. I think our game management would be better. I think our defense would probably perform better.
I guess so, but maybe they win a playoff game. Like, maybe. I don't know. Like, if you put Andy Reid as the head coach of the Bucs right now, I don't think he leads them to a Super Bowl. Maybe, like I said, maybe a playoff victory, but are they really going to fire a head coach?
I guess in a roundabout way, I'm not saying it should be Super Bowl or bust. Like, I need to see steady improvement of a team. We have been at the same level. Our offense has gotten better because we hired a better offensive coordinator.
Sure.
Our defense has stayed the same, if not gotten worse. And
for sure. And that's a compelling argument. That's
the
one
positive there, or the one not positive but constant there, is Todd Bowles.
Right. No, for sure. That's a valid argument. The defensive regression is certainly something that they need to talk to him about. Like, maybe hire a defensive coordinator, like have him just be the full-time head coach, shift the play calling duties to someone else.
Can we also give the game management duties to somebody else too? Bowles can still be the head coach if you want to just have him there.
Right.
But can we have him have no part in making this team?
Yeah.
I love that.
I feel you. Like, his game management has been rough. Like, there are a lot of decisions, and going into a game basically knowing that your head coach is going to be at a deficit because he can't seem to make the right decisions, that's brutal. I don't know. I'm not necessarily going to – it's hard for an organization to look at that kind of success and, you know, whether it's warranted, whether it's earned, whether it's against good or bad teams, you can't help what division you're in. You can't help what teams you play. If you make it to the playoffs, that's a successful NFL season in my mind. So to fire a head coach after three straight years of doing exactly that, I don't know. Like, it's tough to say. It's tough to say that that's a failure. I know it's in the context, like, if you look into it, it's not great, but I don't know. I'm not going to – if I was the general manager or the ownership, I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, that just sends like a message to the rest of the league that you can come here and ultimately get to where we think we want to go. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, if you don't do it the way we want to do it, if you don't look pretty doing it, then it doesn't matter. I don't know. There's a lot to be said about this, and we'll have a whole offseason to talk about it for sure, because I don't see them firing him midseason. So we'll have a lot of more discussions about this for sure, but we want to try to end this episode on a positive note. So we're going to give out some superlatives, kind of some, not mid-season, but in-season kind of awards, so to speak, for both the Bucks and the league. And we'll start with the MVP because that's the most fun. And I'll kick things off with a weird selection. I'm going to go Kate Otten because, like, recently he's been the entire offense. Like, he has been the guy. I know y'all are going to pick Baker, and rightfully so, but trying to shake things up, you know, give us a little bit of variety, because if we all said Baker, that'd be kind of boring. So I'm going to say Kate Otten. He's been fantastic. One of the best tight ends in football this year so far, production-wise. And then for the league, Lamar Jackson. I think we're all going to say Lamar, but I just couldn't justify picking someone just to be different.
You're not going to say Patrick Mahomes?
No, I am not. Lamar Jackson's just been on another level.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun. I know that there's like this discourse about the NFL being an inferior product right now. I can't watch. Sorry, go ahead, Zach.
No, I was just saying I disagree with that. I think that watching him play is like – It's so sick.
Him, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray. There are so many electrifying quarterbacks. And then there are actually good quarterbacks like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. And then Josh Allen can be both. Like, he can be good and electrifying. So I just don't disagree with that. But Lamar Jackson, the poster child for why the NFL is still a lot of fun to watch. If you want to harp on the NFL's other handling of situations, go for it. I'm with you. But saying that the product is diminished, I don't buy it. I still really enjoy the games. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Who's your Bucks MVP and who's been your MVP of the league so far this year?
I mean, I got to go with Baker. Kate Otten has been a stud, of course, but I mean, I just got to go with, you know, the most impactful, you know, game changer kind of player You know, you think about, you know, what would our team be without Baker? I mean, it would be absolutely dog shit. What would our team be without Cade Otton? We would be a little less better, but I don't think we'd be completely dog shit.
For sure.
So I hope you kind of get what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, I got to say, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's a dog, and I feel bad, you know, especially with these kind of losses he's taken or the whole team's taken. Because, I mean, he's a fighter. You know what I'm saying? He's a locker room guy. And overall, I mean, you know, we saw, you know, that iconic, you know, he fought off Boza and then, you know, got it to Rashad White. I mean, that was nuts. So
that was all Rashad White.
Yeah. That was a great catch by Rashad White. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. That was fun on both.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he's been phenomenal. Even on the stat sheet, I mean, he's proved, you know, to us and, you know, to the league that, I mean, he deserves, you know, respect. But I mean, I'm going to leave the rest for Zach, you know, to stay on, you know, to, you know, keep on hyping up Baker. But I want to say is I've loved Lamar Jackson since 2016 when FSU played Louisville and he absolutely embarrassed us. And I'll still never forget that day exactly where I was. I was in Gainesville at my buddy's apartment. And I mean, since then, I mean, I've just been a huge fan of his, and I'll still never forget when he did get drafted. I remember Colin Cowherd said that Josh Allen is a prospect Lamar Jackson is a project or something. And then I saw some interviews that actually like during the combine or something, I don't know who, but some kind of higher up people in the NFL asked Lamar Jackson if he wants to play like wide receiver or running back.
Yeah, they were trying to turn
it's like into how in God's name are you going to tell the Heisman winner to play another position? So if, you know, they're listening to this, shame on you, you know, get another job or something. Anyways, yeah, Lamar Jackson has been phenomenal. I mean, it's really exciting to watch him play. And, you know, my favorite game this season so far was the Ravens versus the Buccaneers, just because, I mean, I knew, you know, Lamar Jackson was going to cook up something for us. And, you know, he's just been a stud. And, yeah, I mean, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all going to be presidents of the Lamar Jackson fan club, too. We're turning into a Lamar love fest, but rightfully so. I mean, last Thursday night, that play against the Bengals where he, like, I don't know, ran like 40 yards or something by himself just to get, like, it was a crazy play. Y'all know what play I'm talking about if you're listening. But, yeah, he's just so much fun to watch. But, yeah, Baker, he's been great this year, too. I just, you know, got to throw some variety. But Mr. Blaine, wax poetic about Baker Mayfield this year.
Cade Otton is a very close second. I will not take anything away from him. I'm so impressed with watching Otton, the progression we have seen with Otton. I would be lying to you if I said 2 years ago I thought he was going to be a relevant tight end in the league, if I'm being honest. And he has just proven us wrong. So he's a very close second. I'd almost put it 1A and 1B with Otton and Baker. But I am going Baker. I think that he brings life to this team that any other team loses their top three receivers. I don't think they have the same drive that this team has. And I think that Baker is a big reason of that. So I'm, you know, I got to give it to him. Plus he's the one getting the ball to Otton. I know that's a dumb way to look at it, but that's kind of how the MVP goes, if we're being honest. We really should just call it the best quarterback award, because 9 times out of 10, that's who it's going to. So I went with Baker, and then NFL, Lamar. Yeah, at this point, I think it's a runaway race, if I'm being honest. And I think second place is a rookie, so it just gives Lamar even more room, in my opinion. Lamar is probably my favorite player in the NFL, him or Derrick Henry. So it's weird to say, but I think the Ravens are my second favorite team in the league.
Wow.
Because of, I know it's wild, but even going back to the old days, like Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, like just growing up, like obviously I'm a Bucs fan, but watching them, I'm like, yeah, they're cool. I like them. So I just got to give it to Lamar. I think he's playing a great season, and him and Derrick Henry working it out the way that they have been, it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's just ridiculous. He's still not quite quarterbacky enough for some people, but, you know, whatever.
Those people get lost.
Right, yeah.
Those people don't know ball.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're just, you know, anyways, that's a whole separate conversation. But now we'll talk about defensive player of the year, because that's kind of a fun topic. And I think that's a little bit more up in the air for the NFL and for the Bucs, quite frankly. Obviously, the defense has not been very good this year for the Bucs, but defenses around the NFL have been really fun because they're just adjusting. Like, they're it's finally getting back to kind of normal levels of football, because before it was just like, you know, everyone was just throwing all over the place. It was Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. It was Tom Brady and the Patriots, or Tom Brady and Mike Evans. It was just a ridiculous amount of offense. So to see defenses adjust is really fun. And I'm really interested to see how offenses kind of counter adjust to that. But with all that being said, my pick for the Bucs, Zion McCollum. He's been one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL this past week, aside, obviously. And for the NFL, it's TJ Watt. I mean, he's been a contender for years now. He's one of the best pass rushers in football. He's got 6.5 sacks this year, and he's forced 4 fumbles. He doesn't really rack up a lot of pressures, but he's really efficient when he does. He seems to really just get home every time he manages to get a pressure, which is kind of a weird way of doing things, but I got to give TJ Watt his credit, got to give TJ Watt his due. He could have potentially won this award last year. So, I really like TJ Watt as a player. He's really fun to watch out there for Pittsburgh. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Who's your defensive player of the year for the Bucs and in the NFL?
I've got Vita Vea for the Bucs. I believe he leads the team in sacks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds right.
As a nose tackle, which is insane. Right. He does it consistently, too, and it's every game I go out and I'm like, yep, something's going to happen with Vea, whether it's a nice run stop or a sack. It's just, you don't see nose tackles getting pressure on the quarterback like Vea does, in my opinion. And for the NFL, I got kind of a weird one, I guess, but Trey Hendrickson, I bet a lot of people don't really know who he is because he plays on the Bengals, but he leads the NFL in sacks with 11, and I don't think he'll win Defensive Player of the Year because of the team is not producing very well. But overall, I think he's a great player. He's another one of those guys that have gotten better and better over the years, and one of my favorite stories recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good for a few years now. He just hasn't been this level good. But
exactly.
Yeah, the Saints let him walk for Cam Jordan, and yeah, it was very silly.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank goodness. But yeah, I don't know. He's got a chance to win Defensive Player of the Year. It's just tough because, like you said, the team he's on, that is one of the worst defenses in the NFL, like full stop. Like, I know the Bucs defense is bad, but Cincinnati's even worse. Like, Cincinnati's really awful. So it's tough to be the sort of the lone source of light on a really, really bad group otherwise. But like you said, he leads the NFL in sacks, so it's certainly possible that he could maybe get some votes. We'll see. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Who you got for this award for the Bucs in the NFL?
Hey, for the Bucs, I'm gonna have to go Vita Vea as well. Again, just game changer. I mean, I think I could put Zion as my close second. I mean, I feel like there really isn't much options after that. But I gotta go with Vita Vea. I mean, he's an absolute freight train. I mean, every single game, you know, he's, you know, making an impact somehow or the other. And yeah, as Zach mentioned already, I mean, yeah, he's our team leader in sacks as a nose tackle, which is awesome for him, but kind of embarrassing, you know, as a Bucs fan. It's rather odd. But and then yeah, for the league, I'll probably have to just piggyback off of you, Carter. I'm gonna go with TJ Watt. I mean, to be honest, I haven't been, you know, hunting down too many kind of, you know, defensive player of the year kind of candidates. But I mean, I got to give it to TJ Watt, even with those 4 forced fumbles, you know, just, you know, in any way possible, you know, he's, you know, making an impact as well. I know he hasn't racked up as many sacks as, you know, he has in the past. I think he's at 6.5.
Mm-hmm. 6.5.
I mean, we'll see how he does for the rest of the season, but, I do think that he's also a favorite as well. So, I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, if Trey Hendrickson wins it, he's been great. Another honorable mention, Xavier McKinney for the Packers. He has been outstanding, really been tearing it up out there if they throw it in his direction.
He has, what, 6 interceptions in 8 games? Like,
yeah,
he's playing like out right now.
I don't think he can keep that level of production up. It's pretty otherworldly, but he's still been outstanding. He's had a great year in Green Bay. So he's been a lot of fun to watch as well, but it's tough for secondary player. It's defensive player of the year and MVP. They've kind of just become like quarterback, pass rusher, you know, that's it. So that's kind of not super fun. It'd be cool to see McKinney win if he gets some votes. But anyways, we'll shift our focus to the offensive rookie of the year for the Bucs and the NFL. We'll switch it up, Mr. Tariq. How about you, man? Who you got for offensive rookie of the year for the Bucs and for the NFL?
I got to go with Mr. Bucky Irving. Ooh, I mean, at this point, you know, I mean, there's only a few, you know, kind of rookie guys, you know, who have, you know, had any kind of impact. And, you know, I love my beloved offensive line and, you know, shout out Graham Barton. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I gotta go with Bucky just cause, you know, he's the one that makes things happen, you know. And I think, you know, I don't want to just say, you know, I don't want to look down on the offensive line either, but I mean, Bucky, I first of all was not happy with the pick. I was hoping for someone else because I was like, I want a power back, and I was like, oh, let's see how Bucky does. But oh my God, I love his shiftiness. Honestly, I mean, that guy is a little Speedy Gonzalez out there on the field. I told you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I mean, it's just crazy because I feel like there have been so many times where I feel like, you know, had that been Rashad White or Sean Tucker, they probably would have got tackled. But it just boom, out of nowhere, you know, he comes out with the juke or something. So, oh, yeah, I love to see it. And then for the league, I'm going to have to just go Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, think it's going to be unanimous in the league.
Yeah, it's got to be. I just, you know, from the top of my head, I really can't think of anyone else. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple other really good rookies out there. But, I mean, what he's done with the Commanders is amazing. I mean, even the way he played against our Buccaneers, you know, as his first game in the NFL, pretty impressive. So, yeah, I'm going to go Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, Daniels is a hard one to argue with. That's my pick.
Yeah.
I think that'll be consensus, sort of like Lamar. Not really much else to say. Like, I think I was excited for Jaden Daniels. I thought he was going to be a fun quarterback. I didn't know if he was necessarily going to be good, especially this early. Like his first season, he was dealing with the Commanders' offensive line has outperformed a lot of expectations. Obviously, Scary Terry's really good. So I don't know. I don't necessarily see anyone taking that spot from Jaden Daniels. But for the Bucs, I'm going to go with Graham Barton just because y'all are going to pick Bucky. So, you know, Graham and Bucky are pretty much on even footing in my mind. But yeah, Bucky's been the best rookie running back in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding. So he's been really fun. If you want to say Bucky, go for it. I'm just going to go with Graham Barton because, hey, without Graham Barton, maybe Bucky doesn't lead the all NFL rookies in rushing. I don't know. Kind of a interesting.
Graham Barton, maybe Baker Mayfield will get smashed on the ground a couple of times and have a season ending injury. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, Robert Haynesy, he was okay last year, but Graham Barton has been a pretty significant upgrade, and there's a reason they're not last in rushing this year. You know, they're not too bad. But Mr. Blaine, I know you're itching to say Bucky Irving is your pick. And
oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, cool. I was actually gonna say Bucky Irving or Jalen McMillan over over Graham Barton. I'm just kidding. I'm trying to be a smartass. No, I got Bucky Irving. He leads the team in rushing yards. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. A little over 5 yards a carry, and he's leading the team in rushing touchdowns. I think that no one expected that. I will say that I was very excited for him, and I would be lying if I told you I expected him to lead the team in rushing yards.
Right.
But he has outperformed what I even thought. Could not be happier. I hate that he's an Oregon Duck, but, you know, it is what it is. I'll take it.
Pac-12 guy, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The past is the past.
Former, previously known as a Pac-12 guy. But
I'm still going to call him Pac-12. I refuse to.
I agree. but NFL, I think Bo Nix is making a push for it, but I don't think it's close. I don't think it's close. But he is coming up in a close second, I will say.
Yeah. No, Bo Nix has had a really tremendous surge recently,
which is shocking. After the Bucs game, it was like something flipped in that team. And
yeah.
Watching Bo Nix now is actually kind of fun to watch.
Yeah,
absolutely. Two ducks.
Said that.
All these Oregon ducks, that's right.
Exactly. This is BS, man. I will say someone out of the three of us said that Jaden Daniels was going to make an instant impact right away.
That's true. That was you. I'm so happy you were right. I love you.
Oh,
super handsome man, though.
So glad I listened to you. Yeah.
No, I kind of expected Daniels to be good. I didn't expect him to be as good as he is, and I didn't expect him to have Washington where they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I could not be happier for him. Awesome player. He seems to be a great guy. Like, I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year, and I think he's could potentially push, at least get a few votes for MVP.
Yeah, down ballot vote guy for sure for MVP. Yeah, he's just been so much fun to watch out there for the Commanders. They Cliff Kingsbury's running a really, really fun offense, which it's cool to see that because he kind of had a rough go of it in Arizona for sure with Kyler Murray and everything. But Kyler Murray's playing great this year too. I mean, not MVP level or anything, so I don't want to – I just didn't want to make it sound like I'm a Kyler hater. I really like Kyler Murray. Yeah, I mean, it's just been really fun to watch them go to work and do their thing. But yeah, Bo Nix, he could – could maybe earn some second place votes. Absolutely.
He's
making things really interesting down the stretch here. But now we'll go to the other side of the ball for this award, Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm going to go with Tyke Smith for the Bucs. He's been really, really good, you know, for a secondary that has as many problems as the Bucs have. Tyke Smith, Zion McCollum, they've been kind of the two biggest bright spots, which he's kind of similar to Bucky. Like I wasn't necessarily super thrilled with the pick. I thought they could have used an outside corner instead, but another instance as to why I am not Jason Light, why I am not working in an NFL front office, because, you know, obviously we missed on these, I missed on these picks. So, yeah, Tyke Smith for the Bucks, and then Kalen Bullock, a safety for the Texans. He's got four picks. I think he leads all rookies in that category. You know, defensively, the rookies this year are a bit of a mixed bag. You know, it was such an offensive heavy first round, so you kind of expected the defensive play to be maybe a little bit less than the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, Kalen Bullock's been a really, really nice addition for that Texans defense. Mr. Treek, how about you, man? Who's your defensive rookie of the year for each of these categories?
I mean, I got to go with Tyke as well. And I'm thinking to you know, who else is there, you know, that has made any kind of impact as a rookie on defense. So it's kind of like a obvious award, you know.
Right.
But now for the league, I'm gonna have to go with Jared Verse. Jared Verse is one of the few guys, you know, I remember from last year in college football when FSU was good. Unlike this year. But anyways. And I mean just overall he's just been really dominant. I wanna give you know, some credit to, you know, where I found this information. It was from Turf Show Times. I think it's a Rams website or something, but PFF actually has Verse you know, credited with 13 of the, you know, 31 pressures by rookies. So he accounts for about 41% of pressures from rookie edge rushers just this season. So I mean, he's been balling out for sure.
Yeah, I mean, versus, he's been great. I mean, he's kind of led a sort of a resurgence in the Rams because they were, you know, there were rumors about, oh, is Cooper Kupp gone? Like, oh, are they going to maybe trade Stafford? Like, there were a lot of rumors, a lot of birds chirping, and he has been a big reason why they have kind of come back. They're in contention for that division. He's been absolutely outstanding, by far and away the best pass rusher, and he'll probably end up winning this award, honestly, if he keeps this up, because like you said, he's just been so good. And the Rams have really needed it. They needed an infusion of youth on both sides of the ball, but especially defensively with, you know, Aaron Donald retiring and all that. So he's been a welcome sight for sure for that team. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on this?
I feel like I don't want to piggyback off Musab too much, but Tyke Smith. At this point, do we even have any other rookies on defense? I know we have Braswell.
Chris Braswell, yeah.
Like, I know that we have him, but really, like...
Yeah, no, I get
we
you.
We have him.
Smith, in my opinion, he's kind of mid. I'm not that impressed with him. He's not bad. I'm just not, like, I'm not going to hope that he's our starting corner in 2 years. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's kind of the only option for us at this point on for the award, so I'm going to give it to him. Defensively in the league, I went with Jared Verse as well. He's graded out as an 83 on PFF, which I think is one of the highest defensive rookies this year. Yeah. I believe he leads all rookies in sacks with 5. And Musab said it, 13 pressures. He's a stud. He's another one of those rookies that if he can get, you know, 4 or 5 more sacks and be on par with Richardson and TJ Watt for sacks, I wouldn't be ashamed to see him get votes for defensive player of the year, not just defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been a stalwart on that defense, yeah. Really. You think of guys like T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett and a lot of these sort of anchor pass rushers for these really good defenses, and Jared Verse is kind of that. Like, he's kind of that.
For sure.
Yeah, so it's been really impressive to watch him go to work this year for sure. But I don't know, I wouldn't be upset if Tyke Smith was the Bucs' starting slot corner for the next few years. I think he's been a bit better than maybe just mid. You know, he hasn't been, you know, groundbreaking or anything, but I think they need to. I'd rather them draft an outside corner before they draft another.
Oh, agreed, 100%, 100%. I guess my thing is the fall off from Smith to Izian as our slot corner. I don't think is that bad.
Sure, yeah, and it's so nice to have two.
Why I'm like, I don't value him as much as some other people might, because when you lose him and Izian's in, I can't really tell the difference.
Yeah, it's not as big of a drop-off, right?
Yeah, so I'm just like, well, I mean, it's all right, but we also, if it's not that big of a drop-off, we already had Izian in the locker room. Why, you know, and I think that plays into where he was drafted and what else we needed is why I'm kind of negative or down on him.
Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, theoretically, Izian could have gone out there and gotten hurt like Jamel Dean got hurt.
100%.
Then we're talking about, you know, versus – it's tough because I do think that slot corner is kind of emerging as a bit more of a valuable position than
– Yeah, Cooper DeJean, who is my backup plan as rookie of the year, off-defense rookie of the year, playing phenomenal slot corner.
Yeah, he's been great.
Been such a good slot corner. And to see the recognition, like – I think if you put slot corner on a like,
yeah, it was kind of an afterthought.
Right. Slot corner, you're like, oh, he's not really that good. Yeah. Like, he's not an outside guy. But I agree with you. I think it's taking it's becoming more of a respected role. And to see guys like, I mean, if Smith can produce like good, I hope he does. But to see guys like DeJean and other slot corners just getting the recognition now, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be an important position.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun to see how the NFL develops and how, you know, position values kind of change over the years. So, we're coming near the end of our episode. Unfortunately, we don't have any over-unders or any predictions because there's no game. So we'll see y'all next week with no news about any Bucs games. So I guess that's a good thing. You know, we can't come out next week.
No news, right. Good news.
That's right. With the Bucs, no news is good news. So if you liked what you heard, definitely give us a like and subscribe wherever you're listening to us from. You can also give us a follow on the social medias at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucs for any Tampa Bay sports content. We're gonna get it to you. But we'll be back next week for sure. Regardless of whether the Bucs win or lose, oh wait, it's a bye. And then we'll be talking about, you know, the Giants. That's our next game, right? Yeah, that's the. Yeah, and I think Mike Evans will be back.
Yes, it is.
He's slated to make his return. So we'll be talking about that stuff next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. But until then, thank you so much from me and my co-host for tuning in, and we really appreciate y'all. And as always, go Bucs.
Go Bucs.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.